Welcome to the November 15th, 2013, Tacoma Landmarks Preservation Commission. The first item on the agenda is roll call, and all commissioners are present except Commissioner Jensen, I believe, and ex officio McClintock. The second item on the agenda is the consent agenda, excusal of absences, ex officio McClintock and Commissioner Jensen have both called in and won't be here. Item B, 2B, is meeting minutes. We have three sets of minutes. Are there any corrections or comments on the minutes? Thank you.
I've been made aware there's a couple of spots where we have an extra E in Commissioner Steele's name, and that he was also present at the June 26th meeting, so we can make that correction.
Also, for the October 23rd minutes, I was excused, although I'm listed as being present as well as being excused.
Thank you.
Sorry about that.
Item C is a list of two administrative approvals that occurred since the last meeting. I move approval of the consent agenda. And correction to minutes. Those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, say no. Consent agenda is approved. Item three on the agenda includes two design reviews. The first is at 615 North High Street in the North South Historic District for a porch railing. And if you're not, feel free to join us at the table.
Oh, I didn't know we were invited.
Yeah, sure. You are now.
Sure.
We'll start with a staff report, and then you'll have an opportunity to add anything.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I passed out to one side of the table, and now I'm going to pass it to this side of the table, just a copy of comments that Commissioner McClintock sent on this too, in support of the application. So I'll just go ahead and jump on in. This is the 615 North High Street. This is a contributing structure in the North Slope Historic District. This is a porch railing. Built in 1906, the home of 615 North High Street is a contributing structure in the district, and this is an application to install a metal hand railing between the existing columns and the porch. There was a previous administrative approval of the concrete work and steps of this address in September. The proposed railing will be 36 inches high and a matte black finish. And note in the packet, the photograph I showed a gloss black, but it will be, according to the applicant, this one will be a matte black finish, but otherwise the same. The railing along the side and rear of the porch is required for safety reasons due to the 4 to 5 foot drop. The existing porch appears to have been significantly modified during this building's history, including the removal of the front of the porch deck, which is now a grade surface, the relocation of the entry stair, removal of the porch wall, and replacement of the original columns. Therefore, this proposal does not appear to affect any historic fabric on the building. Staff identified the following North Slope Historic District design guidelines that would apply for porches. Item three, to replace missing porches with designs and details that reflect the original design if known. Avoid adding conjectural elements, photographic or other documentary evidence should guide the design of replacement porches. Where this is unavailable, the new design should be based on existing original porches from houses of similar type and age. And four, in certain cases, building code may trump preservation guidelines. For example, the historic railing height may be considered a life safety issue, and new railings are generally required to meet building code. In these cases, innovative approaches may be needed to retain the appropriate scale and appearance. The following is a staff analysis. This 1906 house is a contributing structure in the North Slope Historic District. As part of the North Slope, it is listed on the Tacoma, Washington, and National Registers of Historic Places. Just for a note of record, the Stadium Seminary District jogs across the alley between Yakima and I Street at this location. So this is probably actually in the Seminary National Register District, but it is in the local North Slope Historic District, just a little confusing boundary along there. Item two, the Landmarks Preservation Commission has the jurisdiction to review and approve or not approve changes to this building for TMC 1305 and 047, where actual those changes being made by virtue of its status as a city landmark. Item three, the existing porch appears to have been significantly modified over time, including removal of the raised porch at the front of the house, the removal of the original porch wall, relocation of the stairs, and replacement of the original columns. The porch deck along the side of the home may also have been replaced at some time. Item four, the installation of a standard metal railing for safety reasons will not affect any historic fabric on the home or obscure any character defining feature. The black finish should diminish visual impact on the street.
Item 5, installation of a wood porch wall as originally designed will be a significantly more complex project requiring the removal and replacement of existing columns in addition to other structural work. If the porch was proposed to be reconstructed or replaced, guidelines number 3 would apply and the owner would be encouraged to consider closely following the historic photographs. However, this proposed installation is the installation of a barrier. Item 6, building code requires a barrier rail along the side of the house, and therefore staff's recommendation is approval of the application submitted. And I'll just note the Commissioner McClintock's narrative or his email and, reflects a similar thing, viewpoint, which I think everybody has. So.
Thank you. And if you'd like to add anything or make any comments, you can now or in the next few minutes.
Okay. Well, I was following a lot of that, so I apologize. It sounded like a lot of codes and things of that nature as far as the guidelines. And just to add input, may have already said it, just wanted to repeat it. The home's original structure in 1906 when it was built had a, everyone has a photo there of the photo. The structure of the design, the railing was approximately around 24 inches high. And during that era or time, that is as high as the rail went. I was talking to City of Tacoma individual that they, this is the normal design of how high the rails went. It was made of wood. We're wanting to go higher, which is the city code today standards of 36 inches, with metal construction made of steel. And so the safety factor is enhanced even more so because we're going to go with, I believe it's the 4-inch gap between the railings. We do have a 4-foot drop. I mentioned all this already. I'm just articulating that. 4-foot drop and even a 5-foot drop along the front door. The front door is over on this side over here. So very easy to fall off that ledge. So as far as providing rails back on there, I don't really think that necessary is maybe the issue. It's just the kind of construction that we're wanting to do seems to be a better longevity because of the metal construction. So I just wanted to add that verbally that may not be in what's writing there is that the railings meet the type design, meets the safety standards, and also improves the design look of the house of what it looks today, which is front photo of the house, which is very stark and does not show the appearance of an old style era. We sold a home over in North Tacoma. We brought it back to the original condition after 9 years. Sold it for 3 times more than what we paid for, or close to that. We're not new to the North Tacoma area. We are new to the North Slope. So we are definitely promoting the fact of being the same element of air and design. I want to stress that to the board. We are definitely for improvement designs. So that's all I have.
Great. Thank you very much. Now I'll open up to the commission to any comments or questions and the decision.
I'll be recusing myself from
the original columns have been replaced. So are the existing columns wood?
The existing, they're wood, yes.
So the new metal rail will be attached directly to?
Oh, yes.
It won't be attached directly to the rail. It will be on the outside to not obstruct, like taking up more porch footage. There's two levels, one up by the door, the front door, and then one facing I Street. There's two sides to the house there that need railing. And in order to attach them directly to the railings would obstruct the what was the guy saying? It would not be beneficial to the columns.
Yeah.
It would
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, so stand corrected on that. The design that we're getting is a infant structure that is an 8-foot section and it comes with side posts that are actually going to be toggle bolted into the cement. And they're going to be standalone rails that the actual cement goes onto. It'll have the appearance that it's actually attached to the post. The posts are wood construction. But we've freshly painted those white already. So we don't want to touch those. We want to keep those. So it's going to be close enough where it's mounted structures. I think that's in this picture here.
comments or questions? If not, would someone care to make a motion?
Thank you.
Commissioner York.
I just want to reiterate what Commissioner McClintock has stated, which is that the iron rail is not historically something that you would see on something like this, so it's not an enhancement of the historical value, but nor will it detract from the historical value, and it is a significant safety factor for that porch. I think it's going to be a very attractive rail, so I don't see a problem with it. And I would move that, that this recommendation be approved.
Thank you, Ezra. Motion by Commissioner York, and I will second that motion. Any comments or discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Those opposed say no. And the motion's approved. And we'll explain what happens next.
So whenever you're ready to come in for permits, I can sign off on the permit. Just let me know ahead of time. In the meantime, and within the next couple of days, we'll actually have a written decision ready. But any time between now and then, if you're going to come in the chamber for permits before, then we can take care of it.
Okay. And so my question is, so how long is that permit good for? So we have to order the parts and all that stuff. How long is the...
1 year.
1 year, okay. We'll be done.
And the Landmarks Commission approval is generally is 18 months or the life of a permit that's been taken out under that approval. But for something like this, this minor, we don't have a problem renewing that.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks for
that's what you're looking for.
Yeah.
I think that will be done.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
On to design review item B, the Olympus Hotel in the Old City Hall Historic District regarding storefront painting. And are you Mr. Trogan?
No. I'm not sure we have an applicant.
We have Trogan.
They have notice of the meeting, but I don't see them.
You want to go, think we should go forward?
I can go ahead and read this in. I know that the tenants of the space would like to be able to proceed. So if the commission is willing to do that, I can go ahead and present the application now. If there's additional questions, we can always hold on to those.
Sounds good. Thank you.
So I have here, pass out some paint chips. This is E15 Old City Hall Historic District, E15 Pacific. This is a storefront proposal to be painted. Designed by the prominent Tacoma architecture firm Darmer & Cutting, constructed in 1909, the Olympus Hotel is a contributing structure in the Old City Hall Historic District. The last major renovation occurred at this address in 1999, and it included the reconstruction of the pedestrian-level storefront facade. The historic retail front was removed by 1949, and there are photographs in the staff report showing that that nice sort of a modern-ish and Wilkinson sandstone remodel from 49. The current configuration is wood, which appears to be hemlock and plywood with a dark stain and thermal display windows, which are probably all from 1999. The proposal is to paint the storefront red. The paint chips are for you, and in the restaurant area occupied by a new restaurant tenant. The remaining retail level of the building, including the building entrance, will remain the dark stained wood. The action requested is approval of paint color. The applicable Secretary of the Interior standards are 9 new additions, exterior alterations, or related new construction shall not destroy historic materials that characterize the property. The new work shall be differentiated from the old and shall be compatible with massing, size, scale, and architectural features to protect the historic integrity of the property in this environment. Staff analysis, the Olympus Hotel, constructed in 1909, is a contributing building in the Old City Hall Historic District, which is listed on the Tacoma, Washington, and National Registers of Historic Places. Item 2, the Landmarks Preservation Commission has jurisdiction to review and approve or not approve changes to this building for TMC 1305.047. And item 3,
the proposal to paint the existing storefronts red will not affect any historic fabric or character defining features of the building, as the existing storefronts are modern. I'll also note that there are a variety of different storefront colors and schemes in the historic district throughout, and therefore, based on that, staff recommends approval of the application.
Thank you. We're open for discussion or decision if we want to go forward.
So they're proposing paint below the roof line here, so none of this light green above
would
be painted, just
below the canopy.
Are those systems contiguous, like, or are they? Is there a big structural break between the two, between the transom windows above and the storefront below?
I believe that there now. There's a header in between there, and the actual canopy comes right up to the edge. I don't know how much of a gap there is up in there. I can follow up with additional information on that.
Do we know what's coming soon in 8:15 a.m.?
It's called the, well, it's not called a forge. I think it's a business that's similar, the same ownership. There's an existing location in, I think, Puyallup, but same owner.
Yeah, Forum.
Forum, that's right, not the forge, Forum.
Would they be painting the whole storefront section from sort of pilaster to pilaster? Or is it just at 8:15 a.m. and stopping because it's another address and another business?
Correct, location? It's just going to be that business opening.
It's just that business opening.
Yes.
I think that's kind of problematic, personally, to be just painting one sort of business
one
section, rather,
one
than
section.
Rather than the full section from structure to structure. If there is there's a pilaster that's shown on the left in this image, and if there's another pilaster that's beyond the image on to the right, then I would think that it would be appropriate to be painting the whole section rather than just an individual business.
Like a cherry patch or mine.
Yeah. As demonstrated by Duke York.
It'd be stopping just at that standpipe or thereabouts is where the business stops.
Correct. Super dark day, apparently.
It's just a few blocks away.
Commissioner Ray is proposing a architectural site visit. Alcohol beverage.
They're not open yet, I'll say that. Their business is doing, or their right now they're doing their tenant improvements they need to do to the new business.
So it appears that there's a plaster or some type of structure that exists behind this facade break there that separates the two businesses that are located within the same.
This is the entry lobby to the apartments, I believe.
Okay, and then you can see there's a solid infill above there in green. So it appears as if there's another structural divide there, but that the storefront system has been run continuously over the top of it.
It's been paneled around it.
Yeah, like spandrel panel type thing. What I would recommend is that the whole system be painted one continuous color rather than individual businesses being able to distinguish themselves by just painting parts of a storefront system.
From the inboard of this pilaster to...
Yep. All the way across. And I would also recommend that the transom windows above the canopy be painted the same color so that the storefront reads as one system. And if businesses are looking to distinguish themselves, I could understand painting a door, but painting an entire architectural element or parts of one architectural element different colors to me doesn't seem appropriate.
if you pull back on that picture that you have there, I think that, well, because it's so dark you can't really see it, but standing this far away, the clerestory windows above are painted with that light green, and they become more prominent from a distance. And then the dark below, that in itself shows some real significant change. When you're actually standing in front of the building, you can see in the light, but then to paint one quadrant of that all red, it would just look, I think, very awkward.
You can see adjacent the storefront that has the alcove, the system is all painted one color, albeit pink. It's all one color, and I think that for buildings of this era that have these more traditional looking storefront systems, even if it isn't necessarily the original one, that we would want to keep the appearance of a historic storefront, which is the whole thing being one storefront system, not broken up and replaced in different sections. Or painted in different sections, different colors.
So I'm hearing basically that to keep the entire storefront unified, so transom windows from end to end should be ideally, anyways, a single color scheme.
I'd agree with that, but I would also add that the wood looks pretty good. So I'm amenable to either way. If it's not historic, that's okay. But the wood actually looks pretty good to me as well. It would look better if you stripped the transom windows, but
what's different about this than other projects that other buildings we've looked at that have wood storefront systems is from how this was identified. It was identified as hemlock, the species, which is not a suitable exterior wood material, and it's generally a paint grade wood material, so it's not necessarily a very durable wood to be putting out exposed to the elements like this. So nor is it a, you know, it's not like teak or mahogany or something like that that's a much nicer quality of wood. But I do agree with you, it looks fine as it is right now.
But that makes sense. I think it will last.
Yeah, I'm not sure what condition it's in.
It's not too bad. I mean, this is a tenant identity thing.
Pressure steel, I think the tenant identity in this building be served well by perhaps painting the door.
Yeah.
On the perimeter of the door.
And so, yeah, maybe along those lines, I mean, it sounds to me, so just painting the door, what would the commission think if the applicant said, oh, okay, I have the permission of the ownership to paint the entire storefront all the way across? Are there thoughts about that?
I think I would feel comfortable with that. I think I'm starting to agree with what James is saying too, because I think it's not necessarily, if we just paint a portion of it, it's not necessarily compatible with the original massing and scale that we'd be holding other structures to, or other modifications to. So I think it's appropriate to request that they stay with consistent massing and color as part of massing.
I think a site visit might be needed, though, because it's difficult to determine how these two systems relate to one another, the storefront system that's beneath the canopy and the storefront system that's above the canopy. There might be a good reason that they don't need to be the same color, but you can't really tell from the photo without visiting. Like Commissioner York stated, this color seems really bright and perhaps not appropriate for the sort of color and massing of this building, and it might be worth a site visit and also taking this outside in the daylight to actually see what this color looks like.
I think they're going for the London phone box look.
I mean, there is precedent for that in Tacoma. Antique Row, I'm thinking, is sort of more festive. maybe I'm not using the right terminology, but so I don't necessarily think that we would rule out bright colors just because they're bright, but I think seeing it in person in exterior light and knowing the system on a more physical basis would help make the determination easier.
I would also agree that a site visit seems necessary. I'm usually hesitant to talk about paint colors just because it's such a personal, subjective item. But it looks like they already have a red paint color on the windows up above, on the mullions and the trim. So if they wanted to match that, that might be an appropriate compromise without being as jarring. It could be the same color. We don't know. I think the site visit would be good, but I'm hesitant to say no on the paint color just because it's a personal choice.
Yeah, I would be uncomfortable with directing this to the color as well.
So would we defer for the site visit, or do we need a motion to defer the application?
Well, I guess what I'd suggest is if the commission is not too uncomfortable with the idea of just the entry door for now, I can suggest that to them as an alternative. Say the commission would like to visit the building, take a look at the storefronts, and take a look at the paint color and the daylight to have a better idea of what the visual impact will be, and also pass on the suggestion that the color scheme, if it can be tied in with the red on the upper stories of the building, I can pass that along to them and see what they think. I know that I think they're planning on having this business up and running probably by the end of this month, I think. And although with the weather and humidity that we have right now, I don't know if it's the best time to paint in front of the building anyways. But having said that, if the commission is comfortable with it based on this discussion, a motion indicating that the door is all okay, or acceptable at this point, requesting to set a site visit for the remainder of the storefronts, and then I'll take that to them. That sounds.
If they painted the door that color, we told them that they couldn't paint the rest of the. Well, except that would be their option. They could choose to paint it or not at this point.
If they'd like to put an identity mark on the front of the building for now. I didn't hear anybody have any concerns with just painting the door if that was the end of the approach. I mean, probably if that was a proposal, I would just put it out administratively anyways. I'll tell the applicant that the commission would like to have a site visit to take a closer look at the space and the way that the two bays in the storefront relate to one another, and to get a better sense of how the color works with the building itself, and see what we can do.
And if we, after the site visit, agree that they could use the color that's around the windows, they could just repaint the door or leave it.
Yeah,
cherry picking. Does someone else care to make a motion? I don't know if I can put that together. Or I can give it a shot. I move that the application for storefront painting at the Olympus Hotel in the Old City Hall Historic District be deferred until there's a site visit by the Architectural Review Commission, with the exception that the store front door could be painted cherry picking.
Thank you.
I'll second that.
There's a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, say no. The motion is approved.
Thank you.
And that concludes design review. Next item on the agenda, number four, is chair comments. Have anything to add, Rupert, or does anyone else have anything to announce?
I just noticed it was at the end of the packet.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. It was just,
is that just in for convenience?
It was a communication item.
At the end of the packet is the conditional use permit application for the warehouse expansion, which is at the end of this week. And I talked about this a couple other times, but that was before the conditional use permit application actually came out. Our street is pretty quiet. It's residentially zoned. The facility that was there before was the Baptist Seminary, and then Corbin University bought the property from the Northwest Baptist Seminary. And they've had weddings there for at least 30 years, but I lived in my house, which is two blocks down, for probably 2 years before I even realized they had weddings, because they never had alcohol, they never had dancing, actually. It was usually in the afternoons, and they never had amplified music of any kind, and it just wasn't a bother. You know, there would be an extra 40 cars show up on the street, but it wasn't that big of a deal. And then a catering company from Seattle has been renting the property to use for weddings, and it's just been, it's actually pretty comical in one sense, just from the different stories that I've heard, that I don't need to go off on now. We've got great stories of what's been happening when people drink too much alcohol and then wander around the neighborhood. But it's just been a completely different process from before. And so what the conditional use permit asks for, and it's being submitted by Corbin University. So Corbin University is essentially asking for a conditional use permit for Blue Ribbon to be able to come in and do these weddings 7 days a week until midnight in this residential zone. The neighborhood is completely against it. This is the middle of the public comment period. We only have until November 25th. And we're trying to rally and get as much. And all of the TNT article, and then also Cairo News came and did an 11 o'clock segment. And that actually wasn't on purpose from us. I don't know, I think it just makes a good story because it's, you know, neighborhood grassroots efforts or something against the big bad catering company. But from a neighbor perspective, I can say that there's been 2.5 years now of Blue Ribbon Catering having the property. And Vanessa Volkman, who's in charge, has made a lot of promises. And she seems like a very nice person. I haven't actually even met her personally. She doesn't call me back. But she seems like a nice enough person, and I don't know if I doubt that she's trying to do her best. It's just that thus far things haven't worked the way she's been trying to have them to work. Like, you tell her that there's a problem, she'll hire a security guard, but it's a 23-year-old college graduate who has absolutely no pull with the people who are, you know, tailgating off the back of their truck in front of my neighbor's house, and they laugh at him when he comes up and ask them to stop. And you know, there's no policing of the people when they, you know, drink a ton of alcohol and then, you know, get in their cars and leave at midnight and go down the street at 50 miles an hour. Nobody's watching out for that. Nobody's watching out for, before the wedding, there have been people, there's all kinds of things, again, that are even worse than actually I'd ever heard. So that's why this has been pretty comical. But I don't really have good faith that Blue Ribbon Catering and Vanessa can do a good job policing the people, because they haven't so far in 2.5 years. It's been, and again, we're two blocks down, so this isn't even as pertinent an issue for me as it is for, you know, the people who live across the street who are just living in a neighborhood. So anyway, that's the update on the neighborhood. If anyone is interested in you know, we have a petition that's going around. We've gotten about 300 signatures so far, and we've got pretty much the entire neighborhood represented, or anybody that's within a 2 or 3 block radius. I've been spending way too much time on this. Because if it does get through, then we have, you know, permanent weddings essentially going on in our neighborhood. And again, we live in a residential neighborhood. We don't live on 6th Avenue. We didn't buy into 6th Avenue. We bought into something because it was quiet, and it just, even the noise complaints have been not really well responded to thus far. It's just, it hasn't been resolved. So if anyone is interested in signing the petition, I have it. If anyone's interested in emailing the people in charge of the permit process, that would be appreciated. And from the perspective of a landmarks commissioner, a lot of this is going on the interior of the building, right? As far as I understand, they haven't made any alterations to the outside of the building. I would question whether or not these people are good tenants to have a historic building such as this. There's apparently a lot of woodwork and things on the inside, and if the rowdiness of the guests can be heard 2.5 blocks down, then that doesn't seem like the best choice to me. But I don't know if that's within the purview of the Landmarks Commission to comment on.
I can add just a little bit of, I guess, the sort of technical background. I think most people know this building's been for sale for several years. The price has been gradually coming down. It is owned by Corbin University, which was the merged with the Northwest Baptist Seminary, which has owned the building for decades. It's been an educational institution for a very long time. And I think it was probably last a residence in the maybe the late 30s, early 40s, or something like that. What's being applied for is a conditional use permit, historic conditional use permit, which allows for a number of uses of historic buildings that are listed that reside within residential neighborhoods where those uses are not normally provided for in zoning. And the idea is to allow economic use for some of these larger buildings. We've got a number of things, and usually they might be things like old schools or, you know, power substations or whatever. So that's what's being applied for. It is being applied for by the university, I think, perhaps on behalf of the Gator, I don't know. The conditional use permit application indicates that there's going to be no modification at this point proposed for the buildings that are on site. I don't know if that does change, or there are changes that are proposed to the grounds or to the contributing buildings on site. There's an educational building there that is not considered contributing from the 1940s, and then the chapels later too. But at any rate, if there are proposals to make those changes, those will come, of course, as design review. There's been lots of emails and things like that that have been, as you can imagine, flying around about this. But this was included in the back of the commission's information that something is occurring with a very significant building in the city. So that's the status. As Commissioner Luce said, the comment period is currently open on this application. I think the entire submittal is probably in the packet, at least that we've received. And so at any rate, if anybody has any questions or would like additional information, I could try to find it. Philip Gao is the planner that's in charge of this application. And he's just a couple of cubes down from me. So, at any rate,
it hasn't gone to the Planning Commission yet, then?
No.
It will not. It's a land use discretionary permit.
Oh, I see. So it doesn't go to the Planning Commission or the City Council?
This is a
city staff gets to decide.
It's a land use permit application, yeah. And then there's appeals. There's an appeal process and so forth, just like any other thing. But it's a conditional use. We review conditional uses all the time in the city as a zoning, you know, under the purview of zoning. It's a discretionary process, and the application comes in as weighed against comments, expected impacts, and in this case. case, impacts to the historic structure, I imagine. But no, it's an administrative review. It's a permit.
It would seem that one of their options would be to try to modify the property so there was enough parking within the property, and then just close it in entirely or seal it off during the time of an event. But then you're impacting the historical significance of the buildings and the grounds and so forth by modifying it that way.
There is talk about putting in a parking lot on the lower slope, because it's 2 acres and the back end of it, you know, is kind of on the slope overlooking the view. So there's been discussion about that, but I've also heard that there's issues with the soil structure that it might not support a parking lot down there. And the other, I mean, whether or not they, if they did have a parking lot, then that would be great, because that's one huge, like we had a medical emergency one night when there was a wedding, and the fire truck couldn't make it down the street. The fire truck took 10 minutes getting to the house because it went down the street and then it had to back up and do the full turn and go around. And, but the problem is that where these parties take place, or where the receptions take place, the weddings are just fine. But where the receptions take place is like 50 feet away from the nearest house. And so you hear the whole thing. And again, from a neighborhood perspective, but to go until midnight, like there are kids in those houses right across the street, and so, and we've gotten woken up before 2.5 blocks down from, anyway, but yeah, the parking is one issue for us, the alcohol and the amplification of music and just the general, and then just the control of, you know, and their weddings, so you want to be happy for these folks, but a lot of them just get, you know, you drink a lot at a wedding and you get a little wild and you're pretty noisy when you're
at night. Sure, it's used to weddings only and no receptions.
And there's also, like, conditional use permits are usually for, like, schools, right? I don't know a
there's
lot
all
about
all kinds
this,
of conditional use permits for all kinds of things.
Yeah.
Community centers, churches.
Community, yeah, like, this is kind of assembly space is what they're calling
it. As Ruben sort of stated, I think that the real challenge is, and we're going to see more and more of this, is that there's buildings that are no longer being used for what their historic use was, and from an adaptive reuse perspective, if we don't find an appropriate use for them, they're going to be demolished. And I think that the issue that you guys are having is totally legitimate, but I think that the real challenge is in working with the property owner or the tenant to make sure that their goals are being met and the community's goals are being met at the same time, so that some type of adaptive reuse can take place without negatively impacting the community. And there are, I mean, I could see this thing being a quiet little bed and breakfast and it would be beautiful. I could see the school building being a preschool or something, and those kinds of uses would be fantastic for this, but I think the challenge is communicating to the property owner and prospective buyers and tenants what kinds of uses are appropriate.
Seems like that's the essence of keeping it viable without introducing it, basically a tavern or a cocktail lounge into a residential neighborhood.
Or rowdy receptions.
Yeah.
Well, they're presenting this as a continuation of what's already been going on when you read the permit, and so, which is false, because the weddings that have been going on in the last 2.5 years are totally different from what had occurred previously.
Yeah, some of these, the hours of operation seem beyond what typical wedding venues, just having rented wedding venues in the past, would allow. Nighttime receptions is often not allowed in residential areas, and they're daytime receptions, and they have to be wrapped up by 9 p.m. the latest, and yet they're extending these until midnight, and that doesn't seem appropriate for the neighborhood.
Like Lake Wold Gardens, or is it Thornwood Castle?
Yeah.
One or the other. Two, you know, event spaces that are smack in the middle of a residential neighborhood, but I think they both close at 8.
Yeah.
Like you're expected to be on by 8.
Does the commission want to take any action, or is this just for discussion?
if the commission feels it appropriate to take action, I would absolutely welcome that. I don't mean to pressure, but support would be wonderful. So desires. And I can also pass on the vision.
I personally think it's too nuanced of a discussion to put. I mean, if I were to make a suggestion, it would be what we've just discussed, but that I don't think is not appropriate. It's kind of like a thumbs up or a thumbs down based on what the application is, and I don't think that that's an appropriate action for us to take, because I do think we welcome, or we should welcome, adaptive reuse of residential properties or schools. It's just that this one that has been problematic, and I think that that's what needs to be resolved.
If the commission has questions or would like more information on this, I can certainly provide that. I think that I would be cautious on taking a position on this, because it's fairly complicated right now, and there may, there may be a technical role for the commission in this in the future too, as a decision making body. I would just urge a bit of caution, I guess.
No, speak too. It looks like it's already broken up into parcels, so it could be, I assume, sold in pieces if they chose to at some point.
Perhaps. I mean,
not that that's an issue now at all, I understand.
Yeah, this is a large site. It's all landmarked.
Even if it was broken up, it still would be.
Well, there's been, I mean, I think there's been a lot of interest from various parties in doing various things to the property, I think. And, all of them involve some sort of, most of them, I guess, involve some sort of change to the building or the property site, just because of what it is, retirement homes, things like that. I think that, I mean, there's lots of possibilities that can happen here, and many of them would probably involve some commission review of proposed site plans and things like that. And as a continuation, I mean, the CUP application talks about no modifications to the building, but I would assume at any rate that would there would have to be some things that would happen eventually on the property that would require additional permits, and these would be like actual building grading clearing permits or whatever. I don't know that, but I would assume so, especially given some of the issues with the neighborhood.
But even the grounds are designated?
The grounds are considered designated, although I have heard, some people say, well, they're Olmsted grounds. And just in case you hear that, the owners did commission Olmsted Jr. The Olmsted who designed Central Park was not alive by this time, so it is not the same person who designed Central Park. They did commission the design for these grounds, however, they never implemented it. And so there is an Olmsted plan for the Weyerhaeuser Mansion grounds somewhere, but it does not exist in real form, just like the city plan. So,
thank you. Thanks for bringing it, keep us informed, and if there's nothing else,
please, I'm gonna
go later. I know, we're not. It's okay if you don't want to sign. I'm just thinking if anybody does, it would be easier to show them.